We'll dip into a magazine today on Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. You may have noticed the magazine Healthy Cells in a Doctor's Waiting Room. Cammie Gray will tell us how it got there. Then Garrison Keillor will tell us about the Writer's Almanac on Scribble. There it was, Healthy Cells, and I thought, what is that? So I picked it up, and I looked through it, and I thought, this is interesting. We better talk to whoever does this. How did you come to do this, Cammie?
Well, I actually bought it. It was an existing magazine. It's a local magazine focusing on physical, emotional, and nutritional health, and I bought it about 2.5 years ago.
Why?
Well, I actually am a business broker, so I buy and sell businesses, and this one just intrigued me.
Mm-hmm. How does it work? I noticed that the articles in there were about local health providers.
Correct.
Who does those?
The articles themselves?
Yeah.
It depends. Most of the articles are written by the doctors or their staff. We have some stock articles we'll pull from national accounts, but for the most part, they're locally written.
Mm-hmm. Do you go after them, or do they suggest articles to you?
We get both. A lot of the articles that are in the magazine are from the doctors that advertise with us.
Okay.
So the articles can be submitted by anyone in the health and medical profession, but they have to be educational, so they cannot be a promotional article.
But do you get ideas and farm them out to doctors?
Or? I do. Yes, we have readers that'll call me and ask about a certain illness or disease or health food supplement and stuff like that. So we'll always give them suggestions if we can find something for them.
You know, we had a magazine here at WVIK for a while.
Okay.
And it was expensive. And I wonder how you keep it going because, for example, we mailed ours, but that put some heavy restrictions on us.
Right.
So this is distributed?
It is. So we distribute to about 800 locations every month towards the beginning of the month. And as you mentioned, it's at the doctor's offices. We have them at health clubs, pharmacies, Hy-Vee, Walgreens, those type places for people to pick up. We do have an online subscription, but right now the paper copy is the most popular.
Mm-hmm. How do you get them distributed?
We have a company that does all our distribution for us.
Really?
Yeah, so that does help.
I didn't know there was a company that did that.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It makes it easier. I don't have time to go to all the 800 locations.
Well, no, I can understand that. But, I keep thinking of my son as a paper carrier years ago. And, you talk about newsboys and newsgirls and carrying newspapers around. But now it's done mostly by adults.
Right, right.
And there are actually companies that, is there enough business for that?
Well, we actually, the River City Reader is who does our distribution. So we have a similar, I don't know if it's similar or not, but they do their distribution. And then they also tag ours along with theirs sometimes. If the dates fall where mm-hmm. they can do them both at the same time, they will. Otherwise, like I said, ours is the first couple days of the month.
But you see a number of these. Well, I won't say a number, but you see several magazines that are distributed. And you're a business broker. Is this a thriving business?
I will say the Quad Cities market is a tougher market for advertising because there are several publications. So it is definitely a little more difficult here than it probably is in some other cities.
Mm-hmm. But you're supported strictly by advertising revenue?
Correct. Yep.
Had you a business broker? How did you get into that? I mean, and obviously it leads you into strange byways.
Right. Well, I have always owned, I shouldn't say always, but I've owned my own businesses for 17 years now. And so when I was looking at selling one of my businesses, I had worked with some brokers, and then it just kind of segued from there. So I ended up selling my business and working as a broker for a while. And then as you do that, of course, you run across businesses that intrigue you. So then I end up buying them. And
so that it's kind of like selling real estate, or do you buy the business and then sell it?
I buy it and run it. As a broker, though, we do. It is like real estate in a sense.
Okay.
Only it's confidential, so we can't go put a sign on a business's window. So the marketing is is a lot different than real estate.
So you buy a business that you think you can improve a little bit, and then...
I will, yeah. I mean, I guess as a broker, that's not technically what we do. Technically, we sell them to other people. I just, as a broker, you, of course, come across businesses that are interesting, so...
Was that it, you know... I got to get my head around this. As a business broker, how does that work? Do you go looking for businesses that want to sell, or do they come to you, or
both? We're always looking for businesses that want to sell. The hardest part of that is, again, we're confidential, so most people don't know we are there and what we do. So it is a little trickier. We have to go out and find them, let them know we're there. It's just a timing thing, though. They have to be wanting to sell before it's going to make any sense for them.
So I suppose, in a way, it's like a real estate agent then.
It is, yep. Similar process once you get the business listed and, you know, the end is similar. You have the closing and you have the trading of hands of the business, so.
What is it about Healthy Sells that attracted you?
Well, it's local, and I think the lady before me had done a great job. You know, she started from scratch, so she did a great job of building it with a local following. But also, Limelight does all our publication layout and graphics. So from an owner standpoint, they do a lot of the day-to-day work. I really just have to kind of locally be involved with the advertisers and promoting it.
So do you do this all yourself, or do you have any kind of a staff?
Well, Limelight does all the design, layout, graphics, and billing. So they're pretty much my staff. They handle the day-to-day back-end work of it.
Are you was there something about magazines that intrigued you rather as opposed to other businesses you've brokered?
No, actually, that kind of scared me because I do not have a writing background at all. I've always been in sales and marketing. So the actual publishing writing side is probably a little intimidating for me. Actually, when I looked at it and I met with Limelight because they had to approve me as a buyer, I said, as long as I don't have to write all the articles, you know, we're okay. If I have to write them, we're probably in a little trouble.
So there are other versions of this in other places?
Yes. So they are, they're in Peoria. I don't know all the locations. They have some in Arizona, Florida, Bloomington. So he's in several markets.
Is this kind of a national template that you have to pay to use?
Not really a template or national. We, you know, like I said, we have our own design and graphics for each one, so I can pick and choose what I want to put in there. However, they do have to follow some criteria. So it has to hit, you know, the physical, the emotional, and the nutritional health. If I don't cover those articles, then they will fill in. So if I don't have anything covering nutrition, they'll pull something to fill in. So to make sure we kind of hit those areas.
What is your your relationship with this?
So they're, I just call them our parent company. I'm actually a licensee, technically. Mm-hmm. So they, I'm a licensee, I think is how they have it worded.
Okay. Do you think you see yourself as continuing as a publishing magnet?
You know, I've actually looked into some other magazines that have been for sale in the area. So I do like it. I think it's interesting. You get to interact with all kinds of different businesses that I probably wouldn't normally interact with. So it's, you know, it's interesting.
Do you talk to doctors and health organizations about advertising? There must be some means of contacting people to get the business that keeps it going.
Right. We do work with quite a few doctors. And actually, in the Quad Cities, you're seeing a lot of holistic and nutrition places pop up. So I'd like to see a lot more of that in there as well. Mm-hmm. Nutrition especially. We try to keep a balance there.
That's what I was going to ask. It seems to me I've read a lot of these copies because I prefer reading them in doctor's offices to the to the, you know, 2-year-old magazines that are the other choice. But you seem to be sort of toying with alternative medicine.
Yeah, I think there's a balance. And I think medical professionals for a long time were weighted so heavily on the traditional medicine, where now I think you see them coming back maybe a little more in the middle, where you'll have a little more of the natural remedies along with the traditional medicine.
So you don't get flack for regular doctors for doing this?
You know, it depends. It depends how traditional they are. You know, they definitely... there can be.
Okay. All right. Say no more.
Say no more. Next time. But that is fascinating that, you know, you just decided, I'll try this. And so far you're sticking with it and even looking to get further in.
Yeah. Well, I'm fascinated. I guess I should have backtracked, but health and nutrition fascinates me. So more from a... that side of things is probably where the magazine intrigued me.
You said this is a tough market. Is that because there are so many magazines that are distributed for free?
Yes, and I think you know, businesses only have so much money in their advertising budget. So to make your publication stand out when you have, you know, six choices in the hitting the same demographic, it can be a little challenging. When I bought it, we switched to full color because I thought that just made the magazine look nicer, you know, versus it used to be just color on the cover and then the inside was black and white. So, you know, little improvements like that. I think it's nicer to read a full color magazine. And we're switching to the full gloss pages as well. So it looks more professional.
Yeah, you're making more of an investment in this then.
I do, but I think it's more intriguing as well than to advertisers. So I think we have made an investment. Our distribution has gone up quite a bit from where it was when I bought it. We added Clinton, we added DeWitt, Geneseo, Bluegrass. So we expanded the reach a little bit as well.
Mm-hmm. Do many people take copies home?
Yeah, actually December, for some reason, I was getting calls the first week of December that readers were calling me that they were out everywhere. And I was like, what is going on?
Because there must have been something in there that...
I don't know what the big draw in December was. But yes, they do take them. You know, it depends. If you're at the doctor's office, a lot of people don't take them with them. They'll just pick them up and read them and leave them, which is fine. But Walgreens, Hy-Vee, those type of places, they usually take them with them.
Yeah, well, I took mine.
Yeah, and you can. They're meant to be taken. But a lot of people, you know, they don't, which is fine too. So... either way.
Not to harp on the business end, but, you know, we don't talk about that much. Do you rely more on your individual contact with health providers, or do you use advertising agents?
It is more individual contact. We have a few agents, but it's primarily direct contact with the doctors and their staff.
Mm-hmm. So in dealing with doctors... so many doctors are in clusters, and they're individuals. You have better luck with the groups of doctors or individuals?
Well, it depends. The groups and the clusters usually have larger advertising budgets. So from that standpoint, sometimes it's a little easier. Getting the one-on-one articles and attention, it just, you know, it kind of depends on how their staff is set up. Some of them will have a marketing staff that helps write the articles and, you know, they'll get the doctor's feedback. So it just kind of depends on what their staff situation is.
That brings up the subject of editors. Does anyone edit these? Does anyone give them a final look?
Yeah. So they usually, the offices, especially if they're using an advertising agency, they obviously go over everything with a fine tooth comb. So they will send us the article. I usually proof it. And then Limelight also has a whole department set up for editing and proofreading. So, and then we'll shoot back. You know, like I said, they have to be educational. So if any of the articles get to be promotional or, you know, we're the first, we're the best, anything like that, we take that out and we have to shoot it back for approval. And so there's a little back and forth depending on how the article's written to begin with.
So you do get into the nitty-gritty of the business, don't you?
You know, a little. For the most part, though, a lot of the... doctors have been in here for a while, so they kind of get that, you know, they know now that the articles are educational, and I usually don't have a whole lot of that anymore, once in a while, but for the most part, they, you know, they come up with some really good topics, and they focus more on their patient stories, I think, now. So
how long does it take you to put one together? You say you come out around the first of the month. When do the articles have to be in?
We work a month ahead of time.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Ideally. If we are going to print today for February's issue, so we're a little behind. You know, but again, we like all the articles in the first of the month, and that gives us time to go back and forth on the editing and the proofing and all that kind of stuff. So
and they also provide pictures?
You know, it depends. Some of the bigger offices do. If they don't provide a picture, we'll pull a picture that goes with the article. I prefer local pictures, but if they don't have them, then we can find something that kind of coordinates with their article.
So the next time you go to a doctor's office, look around for a copy of Healthy Cells. And Cammy Gray, we applaud your interest and initiative in this. It sounds as if you've really built on something and made it more of a success.
Thank you.
Will you ultimately sell this?
You know, ideally, I think when I buy a business, that's the end goal, is to sell it. I don't have a time frame in mind, but
For right now, you've made some nice improvements.
Yeah, and it's been fun. So,
okay, Cammy Gray, who's the owner, the publisher of Healthy Cells. And now Garrison Keillor is the guy who is, I guess he's more or less in charge of Writer's Almanac. Support for Writer's Almanac on WVIK comes from the Mississippi Valley Regional Blood Center, working together with volunteer donors to provide blood products and services to hospitals throughout the region. Information at bloodcenter.org. And after that very interesting interview with Cammy Gray, we go back to the book bag.
And let's go back to Nan Carter. We haven't had a suggestion from her for several weeks. She's the one that is keeps sending me book after book after book of Mideastern, Arabic, Palestinian fiction, all of it that I would never have read before, but which is incredible.
And we should mention that some of these books are available for your
use. We haven't done that for a while either. Yeah, we have a free library in VIK in the lobby, and come in and help yourself to a book. The one I'm going to suggest now is one of the, of 30 or 40 books that are in the bookshelf. Feel free to leave a book if you want. This book is by Neruddin, Neruddin Farah, Farah. He's a well-known writer. Wasn't to me, but I discovered that he is well-known. And the book is called Secrets. It's the winner of the 1998 Neustadt International Prize for Literature. And it takes place in another hot point in the world, Somalia. Most of the novel takes place in Mogadishu, just as the civil war is escalating, so that the characters have to avoid bullets, have to go through checkpoint after checkpoint, every block. But it is, like many of the books that Nan suggests, a world in upheaval. It's another one of those Arab Spring things. Somalia is moving rapidly from rural to an urban society, from an old culture to a new culture, so that there's witchcraft along with cell phones and international travel. It centers on a main character whose cousin has returned from America with new ideas, and she upsets the status quo. Family secrets are revealed. But mainly what we see is a country, what it must be like to live in a country which is neither here nor there, as one foot in the old ways and the other foot in the new ways, and in which fighting is so pervasive that, there's a beautifully, I can believe, realistic scene in which people starting to venture out into a market hear a huge explosion from several blocks away, which means that the target for that day is that market, and they're safe. And everybody floods out and goes to the market, right? Because we're not going to get bombed today.
Boy.
It's unreal. If you want to read a book about what it's like to live in that kind of a society, it's an important book to read, I think, because much of the world is living under those very conditions.
You remember the book on the Mississippi that talks about how wild and hostile the Mississippi Valley was for those early years.
Right.
All countries go through this process of becoming. One of the difficult things in this country, and people don't want to talk about it at all, is race. And yet we were the last of the great civilized Western countries to give up slavery, and it took a civil war to stop it. Back reading about the Constitution and the First Congress, and you realize all the concessions we had to make to the Southern states in order to get them into the Union. We had the business of counting slaves as three-fifths of a person. They set up the Electoral College to help the states with smaller populations to have an equal footing. The Second Amendment to guarantee the rights to for citizens to have arms, because they were came from the slave states. And we don't know much about that. I'd like to mention to you a book that you might consider if you really want to get into this. It's Tears We Cannot Stop. It's called A Sermon to White America by Michael Eric Dyson, who's a minister and a sociologist. And it is a discussion of race. And it brings home the fact that you cannot know what it is like to live as a black person in this country, or any minority, or it's the difficulty of a majority accepting a minority. It is something I think you would find useful to read. And it's one of those books that, well, if you think you're up to it, it's Tears We Cannot Stop by Michael Eric Dyson. Also, another interesting one, kind of parallel to that, but completely different, it's called Crazy, George Harriman, A Life in Black and White. Crazy Cat was the foundational cartoon in this country.
And still the best.
Still the best as a black man.
Yeah, I did not know that.
George Harriman.
Who passed for white.
Yeah, he's a black man who passed for white. And, of course, that made him made it possible for him to do what he did. Now, we have a biography of him by Michael Tisserand, and it's called Crazy, K-R-A-Z-Y. And I think you would find that an interesting thing to read. But the one that might move you most or get you to thinking is Tears We Cannot Stop by Michael Eric Dyson. It's a tough subject, and as a kid growing up down south, I found it extraordinarily difficult to reconcile myself to it. But I was amazed that my classmates found it pretty easy, and that started separating me from the people I grew up with and loved. But Tears We Cannot Stop and Crazy, a couple of books that have different approaches to the subject of race in this country. And with that, we will race to the exit. Thank you very much for joining us today. I'm Don Wooten with Roll Tweet. This has been another session of Scribble, and yet another is coming up next week. We hope you'll join us.